consider to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
And you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP in Moscow, Pullman. And Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latell Recovery Center located at 531 South Main Street, Suite B in Moscow. Phone number is 208-883-1045. Their hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The web address is www.latellrecoverycenter.org. And the email address is latellrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affect us all. To make our community aware of recovery resources available in the area, and to share personal stories of people in recovery highlighting their experiences, strengths, and hope for the community. For continuing in recovery.
And the community. It all works together, doesn't it, really?
It really does. And I'm Denise Miller, and I'm grateful to be in recovery and be here today. Yeah. And who are you, Johnny?
And who am I, Johnny?
Because that's what you always say to me, and who are you?
I am Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and also just tickled to be here and be able to give a little bit back to the community and outreach to those people that may be looking for an answer to a problem they haven't been able to solve themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And today, Denise and I are going to talk about those miracles that have happened to us in sobriety. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff that you had no idea could possibly occur in your life when you're at the end of that, that run of addiction and mm-hmm. insanity that come along. And we were talking just before we went on the air. The first miracle that happened to me in recovery. You know, just a backstory, I'd probably spent the previous 2 to 3 years drunk out of my mind 24/7. And the only way I could earn money, because I was pretty much unemployable. Nobody seems to want to hire and maintain a drunk.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, kind of closed-minded. But I did odd jobs for people and, you know, people who I knew or for, I did for real estate agents. I'd go work on houses they were selling that needed, you know, a light switch changed or, you know, some little job. And they paid me pretty good cash money. And so when I finally got sober, I think I'd probably been sober about maybe a week or 2 weeks, and I was running out of money. Mm-hmm. And, I was starting to work the program, been to a few AA meetings, and I realized I had to take some responsibility for myself here and get something going. So I kind of prayed to God one night and I said, you know, I really don't know what the next right thing is other than I'm pretty sure I need a job. And the next morning I got up and it was on my mind, and I went out early in the morning, sat out on my front porch and was having a cigarette and thinking, well, where can I go? What can I do? I haven't had a job in 3 years, so big hole in the resume, and you know, what were you doing, and on and on. And you know, having been fired from jobs for, you know, drinking,
right, doesn't really build your confidence, does
right
it?
Right. No. Yeah. Nor does it bode well for references for previous work. So I'm having the cigarette and just kind of thinking, what can I do? And this fella came out from the side yard of my place. We rented a small apartment in our place. And he was the boyfriend of the gal that rented from us. And he said, hey, Johnny, what are you up to? And I said, I'll stretch him, you know, got to find a job. I'm trying to figure out where to go. And he goes, well, you know electrical, right? And I said, yeah, I know electrical. And he goes, why don't you give me a resume and I'll give it to my boss, because we're always needing people to work on these, you know, lighting retrofit projects and little, you know, adding circuits and stuff like that. And you know all that, right? And I said, yeah. So I went in the house and just happened to have a resume I'd been working on, and I gave it to him, and he took off and went to work. And 2 hours later, his boss calls me up. 4 hours later, I was in his boss's office interviewing, and the next morning I went to work for him.
Yeah.
And that was 100%, you know, God's doing. I mean, I asked for help. I asked for a direction. And the action I had to take was to be available and to be willing to hand that resume to this guy. Because I could have said, well, I don't really have a good resume. You know, maybe I'll, you know, hit you tomorrow or something like that, which would have, you know, my standard operating procedure.
Yeah,
at double that
back
time.
A little bit. Or,
yeah. Yeah, because, you know, on top of being unemployable, my confidence, like we talked about, it was at zero.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to hire me? Mm-hmm. You know, a bit of a pity party there, right? Oh, poor
me.
Well,
and I think when we get sober, we tend to realize, oh, yeah, like, what was I thinking? Sometimes when we're using and we're doing things, we're like, oh, yeah, I'm so wonderful. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but then reality kind of sets in when you're sober, so.
Yeah. So that was like, you know, the first miracle of many that have followed, because I've been able to do things and go places and go forward, mm-hmm. and do wonderful things,
yeah.
That really just had no expectation or no vision of. I mean, it was not part of my plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I just kept it simple. You know, it's like, God, what do you want me to do next? Mm-hmm. What's the next right thing to do?
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't always necessarily, you know, get clear guidance. I mean, God doesn't come to me in a burning bush and talk, but you know, he sends people like Jeff, who, you know, came around the corner and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, and that's a lot of how it's done, is you pray and then a person or information comes your way.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Pretty obvious, you know? Yeah.
So tell us about your miracle.
Well, you know, there's so many things to choose. But I'll start off with something that because of what you shared, it made me think of. So I was a participant in the drug court program, and I started that program in, I believe it was like November. And that's one of the requirements. You have to have a job. So at the time, my daughters were, I believe, 3 and 5. Yep, I think that's right. And and I hadn't worked for a while. I'd had previously had my own business, but lost that to my addiction 7 years prior. And so, you know, I'm not feeling very confident about things. My counselor in my program helped me do a resume and stuff like that. And I watched as people, you know, walked around and handed them out, worked really hard to try to get jobs. There was a gal that, you know, was on 6 months of looking. You know,
right.
And then some people, of course, that had jobs, obviously. But I wasn't feeling overly confident about it either. But my daughter came to me, my adult daughter, and she said, you know, I was talking to my boss and they need somebody there. And she said to go ahead and come see her. And I was like, well, that's just awesome. You know, I think my daughter had been talking to her boss about me over the years, and then, you know, different kinds of things that she was sharing that were really hard for her. And my boss was a really good listener and was very compassionate. But then once she heard that I had gotten in a program and things were going well, you know, she went on a limb and asked for me, and they both took a chance with me. And so it happened as well pretty quick. I basically, within a few days, was down there a day and a half, or I don't remember how fast it went. It was about 5 years ago. And she hired me on the spot, and I've actually been working there since. We have new owners as of the end of May last year, but they're also friends of the people that owned it before, and they're really great people. And so it really helped build a lot of confidence. And it was a really great place to start as far as being able to work that around having children, doing my program. Because that was the other thing, is we have all these things in the beginning that we have to get done. And, you know, you've got UAs, you've got classes, and all this stuff is, you know, 7 days a week kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, how am I going to find a job that works with this? How am I going to find childcare? And everything just started to just all fall into place. And that's the interesting thing about recovery, especially when you're, you know, letting people know what you're doing and you've got community around you, is people want to help. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe the response that I got from people early in recovery, as I'm just like, yeah, I'm in a program and caught in trouble. And they weren't like, oh, you know what I mean? There wasn't shunning. And in fact, it was really positive. And it's not what I expected. And I need to not say that. So it was just really great to see people, you know, surround me and be positive about it and help me along in that area.
Yeah,
so that was pretty good.
And I've found that too. You know, and there have been times in my employment where I've been able. I can think of one precise case where, you know, and this was kind of one of the many, many, many almost daily minor miracles that occurred to me, you know, like finding a parking space right in front of the radio station, you know, those little miracles happen
right,
all
like,
the
yay.
Time. Yay, I'm here.
But was
working as a project manager, and had an electrical contractor working for me, basically. Doing this job, and the foreman came to me one day and he goes, yeah, these two guys were, you know, they went out drinking last night. They didn't even come back to the motel. I don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're going to be shorthanded tonight. And I asked him, I said, you say this so matter of fact, is this something that's fairly common with these guys? And he goes, yeah, they'll disappear for a day or two. And I'm like, well, you know, here's my thought on it. You know, maybe it's time for a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. And I told him, they're not welcome back on this project. Mm-hmm. And he went, oh, man, but. And I go, hey, it's not your call. Okay, so you don't have to worry about them being pissed at you, because these guys were rowdy.
Right.
You know, slightly out of control, wild men, you know. Mm-hmm. And besides drinking, I suspect, you know, they had other habits that allowed them to stay awake and drink a long time.
Yeah.
And I just said, no, this is, you know, A, I can't have it. Mm-hmm. I can't be wondering what their condition is or if they're going to show up.
Right.
And it's unsafe for you and your company. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they drop a light fixture on one of your hardworking guys' heads.
Right.
And he's like, all right, man, but I'm going to put it all on you. And I'm like, put it all on me. I'm good with that. I'm prepared for that.
Right.
And these guys came up the next night, and I said, you guys can't be on the job site. And they started making physical threats to me. And I said, I'm do what you got to do. But you can't be on this web, you know, you can't be on this job site. I almost said website.
Yeah, work site.
Times have changed. So anyway, so I was able to confront them, puffed my chest up enough to back them down from their desire to, you know, turn me inside out or whatever they had planned to do. And, you know, that was also God sitting on my shoulder mm-hmm. saying, no, stand up to him. Nothing's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. You're going to be fine. If it does, well, you'll be fine too mm-hmm. later.
Yeah. You'll recover.
Right. You'd be a little sore right now, you know. I don't like taking punches, but I can. You know?
Right, yeah.
And so these guys went off and away. But before, at the end of that confrontation, I said, you know, it's my experience. I've been where you're at. You know, I've been thrown off jobs. I've been fired. And I said, I discovered I had a real problem with alcohol and drugs. So I don't know if you do, but maybe you want to think about that.
Right.
And that was the end of it. And they actually became apologetic after that. And mm-hmm. they went off and did their thing. Well, about 3 months later, we're still working. This was a big project. We redid the lighting and a lot of electrical at all the schools in Paradise, California, the town that just burned down this mm-hmm. last summer. And same crew, you know, a few different guys, and these guys never came back. They were never sent back. But I heard from the foreman that one of them had actually gone into rehab, and when he came out and started going to AA, he brought the other guy with him. So
right.
at least they got introduced to the program. I never mentioned anything about it. I, you know, other than saying, you know, I've had a problem too.
Yeah.
But something happened there. There was yeah. some sort of hope, you know. I was able to throw some sort of little awakening in there.
Well, you were honest about a lot of things from what I heard you just yeah. explain. And that honesty and also your own boundaries, you know,
right.
about what you would accept around you. All of that honesty, that was good. That was really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It was what I felt needed to be done. And I've discovered over time that a lot of my feelings are, although feelings aren't facts, I truly believe that. But when I get a feeling that this is the right thing to do, and I get this really incredible resolve.
Yeah, everything's clear,
like,
huh?
Yeah, it's crystal clear.
Yeah.
Then I know it's not my ego.
Right.
Because I don't question it at all. When right. I know it's my ego telling me something,
yeah.
I question it over and over. Is this right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Should I do this?
Right.
Should I not? You know, one of those things. But when I get filled with this resolve, I realize, nope, this is
the right thing
this
to
is
do.
Just absolutely the right
yeah,
thing to do.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what I was thinking too, was is it being able to handle things that way makes for the opportunity where you're not just standing by watching somebody
right.
go down this road. I mean, you've already been down it. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of times where, you know, we may not know what's going on in someone's life because we haven't been there. But when we have the ability to recognize something because we've been there, mm-hmm. then you got to speak up and say
right.
something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes empathy is enough.
Yeah. 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 You didn't shame anybody or you didn't, you just stood strong in what you knew was right.
Yeah.
You know, and you didn't say anything bad. You just
nope.
told it like it was. You were
told
very
it like
clear.
It was and mm-hmm. you know, laid myself out there too. You
yeah,
know?
Right. Vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a stranger to it. And
yeah.
You know, been there, experienced that, and you know, really and my motivation, you know, I always gotta check my motivation because, you know, my
sure.
ego is working with that guy in my head that's trying
sure.
to kill me. You know, my motivation was, God, you know, these guys, it seems like these guys really have a problem.
Yeah.
If they consider this normal, acceptable behavior. And I really hope they can get help.
And that's the thing is that the other guy didn't feel, he's probably friends with them, and he didn't feel confident in saying anything. That's why he was like, okay, well, I'm going to let this be on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that makes sense because sometimes we just don't feel like we can do that. And I get that. I get that. Not everybody
yeah.
can make that choice. So that's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Hey, you know what?
We could take a quick break and then come back.
It's break time. Let me throw something up here.
Yep. And we'll come back to Miracle talking about recovery.
Yeah. Let's do that. Here we
yeah.
go.
You're listening to KRFP, Moscow Pullman's Recovery Radio.
And we are back on Recovery Radio on KRFP in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. I'm Johnny, she's Denise. And we're talking about the miracles. Mostly I've been talking about the miracles, so I'm going to hand off to you, Denise, so you can share some of your experiences, which are fascinating as far as I'm concerned.
So I was going to go backtrack just a little bit to before addiction and before recovery. And so early on, I moved here in 1996, summer of 96. And basically, I mean, my life kind of revolved around my kids and just not really knowing anybody here and things. And as time went on, I would have liked to have been more involved in the community and things like that. But I just really didn't know where to get involved. And I didn't know a lot of people. And I suppose my priorities weren't into that as much as I would have liked. And then addiction came along and a lot happened with that. So when I did get into recovery, and as most of you may have heard, I was in the drug court program here locally due to getting myself in trouble, which actually turned out to be really good. When I got into this program, basically what happened was it was, I won't say forced, but it was a part of the program to do certain things and to be a part of certain things. And so did classes and learned about addiction and learned about relapse prevention and that kind of stuff, and basically how to live better and have some priorities, get your morals going, figure out what those are. So that was really good part of this journey in recovery. And then as time went on, I got involved with my church, and like I said, I still have the job, but started working at Anytime Fitness and getting to know people and being involved in small groups and things like that. And as time went on, started to notice I had friends and I was involved in things and life was looking a lot better. And so today, I mean, it's really interesting to look at all the miracles that have happened as the last 5 years have kind of unrolled. And all the things that I've been involved with and the progress that I've made have just really kind of blown my mind. I think I was in the church for about 8 months or so. I got baptized. I was in a home group and just started getting involved with different things at the church and helping out. Also still, you know, helping out with recovery and things like that with friends. And it was really cool to hear every now and then. And it kind of surprised me. People would be like, oh, you know, we really think it's great that you're doing so well and it inspires us. And those would be people new in recovery or people who were still, you know, in addiction. And I say that because I just go about my life day to day and I don't really necessarily think about that. But people in the community see, you know, what I'm doing. And I think that it helps give other people hope. So, yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, pretty common for me to love to have my ego stroke, you know, good job, thanks, that feels so good.
Now that's human.
Yeah. But when people come up to me after an AA meeting and say, you know, you said something there that really rang true for me and blah 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 blah, and I'm gonna do something about this you know, because of what I heard you say, I become just unbelievably humble. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, oh, you know, I want to say, oh, don't listen to me. Right. You know, are you crazy?
Right. Yeah. If you only knew who I really was, you wouldn't be listening to me.
Really. But yeah, it my humility just kind of wells up inside of me. And I'm like, wow, you know,
it's 'cause you're being honest and sharing things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it may have been something that was, you know, seemed fairly inconsequential to me.
But relatable to other people. So yeah, relatable.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and another one of the miracles, when I was early on, you know, coming into the program, I really, you know, when it went around the table and it's like my turn to share on something, I would just say, oh, I just want to listen. Thanks. And mm-hmm. And a fella came up to me after, I don't know, this is probably after 6 months of just passing, not wanting to, you know, talk about my truth or, you know, my experience, my hope. Mm-hmm. A fella came up to me and he goes, I notice you never share at meetings. And I'm like, well, I don't really know if I have anything to share because, you know, I hear a lot of my story and what other people are talking about, and you know, other people, you know, they got some, you know, more sobriety than me, you know, they're smarter than me, they're more experienced than me, sort of thing. And he says, yeah, but you're cheating the rest of us out of your experience. You know, the way you say something, how you experience something, may be something I need to hear. You may hear a piece of your story and everybody else's story, but that doesn't mean, you know, you have the right to withhold your piece of their life, you know, by not sharing. So basically he told me, look, sucker.
Right. Yeah.
Open up, start talking. And it was, and I did, you know, again, God talking to me through this other drunk. Yeah. And that's when I started getting feedback from people like, oh, I never thought of it that way. You know, I'd experienced that, but my perception of it was different than what you said. And now I think what you said was probably the perspective I should have had on it the time. So it's like, you never know, you know, who you're going to touch, who is, you know, going to be inspired by what you say, and maybe make a change. You know, and that's one of the miracles that I look forward to in my life. That's why when, you know, I wake up in the morning and I take my big book and I put it under my bed, because I try and read a little bit every morning, and I put it under my bed. And the reason I do that is because that forces me to get on my knees and
retrieve the book,
Yeah, to get the book. And because I'm old, whenever I get on my knees, you know, I take the opportunity to pray, because I know it's going to be a struggle to get back up.
Right. You're like, I think I need a break. Yeah. And so, Lord, on top of you helping me get back up, I would like to talk to you about a few things while I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. I am thinking about it kind of right now. So I was the oversharer, you know, in the meetings way back then. So there was really kind of, I had to be careful to shut up after a while. But at this point, God's calmed me down a little bit. And so I tend to be a good listener and then share, I think, when it's, you know, probably okay.
Right.
You know, I think I've mellowed out a little
bit. When the inspiration hits.
Well, you know, I think from drug use and things like that, and not having a lot of close relationships, I mean, I just kind of talk to everybody, you know. And I do still kind of talk to everybody now, in a sense. It's just not so vomity, you know what I mean? It's a lot more thought out, for the most part. There's actually a purpose, you know, like I'm actually making a statement of some sort, probably. A
little less oral diarrhea.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but so these days, you know, I'm pretty open, and I really have been over the last 5 years, open about, you know, the fact that I'm in recovery, the different things that I do. And it's amazing to get the response back, because really there are so many people who either they struggle with that, or they have a family member that struggles with that, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're able to take a moment, especially if they have a family member that struggles with that, because I think this would be my best guess. A lot of times people aren't connected with the community that's in recovery if they have a family member that's struggling and still using. You know what I mean? It's not like they're going to NA meetings necessarily. And there are, there definitely is support for people who have family members that, you know, are using. But I guess what I'm saying is it's one of those things I think weighs on people, and they enjoy being able to let that out, you know, and be able to talk to somebody who gets it, and then be able for them to ask questions and stuff like that.
Right.
And also to hear that someone's, you know, doing it, you know, someone is in recovery, you know, and what that looks like. So,
yeah. You know, there's, Al-Anon, which is a group for people who are related to people who have problems with alcohol primarily, although I'm sure it stretches the spectrum. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I probably should be a member, you know, having been raised in an alcoholic household, because I'm sure there's issues there that I can deal with. Although just keeping my crap together, you know, through the program of AA is might be enough work for me right now, and has been for many years, because I'm still learning new things all the time. But to, you know, I have had friends come to me in times of desperation and say, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Where can I go? Yeah. What are you doing
right.
that helped you get over this thing that I'm mm-hmm. experiencing? And it is important that, you know, I'm available to talk to people like that. Mm-hmm. It is. Because it's for them, it's safe. It's mm-hmm. a safe thing. It's not going to get out all over town. Nobody's right. going to see me going into an Al-Anon meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, and people are fearful. You know, Al-Anon is as private and it's anonymous
right.
as any other group. But you know, when you go into an AA meeting and say, see the mayor. Mm-hmm. I remember going to a meeting down. I was down in Los Angeles for something. Left a great impression. I don't even remember what it was, but I went to a meeting down there. It was a huge meeting, mm-hmm. and you know, like I got there a little not late before the meeting started, but you know, like right before the meeting started. So I was sitting in the back, and some guy came in a suit. With sunglasses on and a little funny wire hanging out of his ear, and he kind of looks around, and then this other guy, older guy, comes in. He's wearing a suit and he sits down, and then another guy follows him in with the wire hanging out of his ear and sunglasses on. And you know, AA groups are not typically really well lit.
You're like, the Secret Service is here, what right. the heck's going on? Yeah, like why
yeah
what
and for the life of me I did not know who the guy was, and honestly, I didn't spend a lot of time trying to figure it out after the fact, because mm-hmm. at that point I realized, well, this is a guy, a drunk like right. me.
Just like everybody, yeah, everybody
you know,
else.
He
yeah.
just packed live heat around with him wherever right. he went, and you know, it made me, for probably the first time in a long time, I felt a little bit better about our government. Right. It's like, okay.
So at least, you know, hey, if people are getting help for their stuff, because everybody has problems, you
that's
know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I'm glad this guy's here, whoever he is. And so it's, you know, but people are concerned, you know, they don't want to suffer the embarrassment of, you know, just coming out in the world and saying, you know, my husband's a drunk, my wife's a dope fiend. Mm-hmm. And not that, you know, they probably haven't been approached by others who have said, you know, is there something wrong with her? Something and, wrong with him?
Yeah, and see, and that's kind of the thing is, it's like if nobody talks about it, then how is anyone supposed to know that you can talk about it? You
right.
know, I mean,
and how do you know who to trust? I mean, right. usually it's the people closest to you.
Right. And that's why I say I talk about it, you know, just let it go. I did want to add, though, that one of the things to kind of sum up stuff with this is that what I see over the last 5 years is I see a lot of willingness to listen to things and think about them, learn about them. I see change. I definitely see myself much more humble, understanding that, you know, I'm learning, and I see the progress of learning, like as it comes in more and more, and as I'm able to take on more things, not, you know, I'm always checking myself to make sure that I'm not overdoing things. Like, for instance, I hurt a muscle in my leg. So I'm like, okay, so what do we need to do to get this better and to then follow a routine with work that makes it so that I don't injure myself, you know, not going to do what I did, you know, over 10 years ago and lose my business and stuff, you know what I mean? Decide I'm going to start, you know, taking hydros instead. yeah, that's not going to solve my problem. So I do have that ability to look back and go, yeah, that wasn't a good idea. I need to make some choices and some change and learn some things instead of finding what the quick fix is. And I'm also reading a book called Dare to Lead. It's by Brianne Brown. And in it, and I'm going to have to take notes. I just read the part about basically about addiction, but it's about numbing. And she really does a great explanation on it. And I'll have to share that sometime when I can articulate it a little bit better. But she does bring up the point about we all have stressors. And there's a difference between possibly like taking a drink when you get home from work and being an alcoholic. And where is, You know, where are things okay? But it does boil down to the fact that there are things that we're trying to avoid or numb out or deal with. And you should, like I said, I'll explain more when I can do better. But she really makes really good points in it. She was an alcoholic. She, you know, attends AA and things like that. So she really nails the whole thing. But she also talked about things in a way that I had never thought of. And then also, you know, things that I did know about, which is, you know, I mean, you can drown yourself in a lot of different things. It can be shopping, it can be eating, it can be whatever.
Workaholic.
But people in general, across the board, no matter who you are, do have certain things that they do to try to cope and to try to numb things, you know, so that they can. And so I just thought that was really interesting. And so it's not just an addict thing or an alcoholic thing. And I will mention that the church Real Life has Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights at 7:00, and it's for hurts, habits, and hangups. And so, you know, I would say that it's definitely fair to come, even if you have a family member that's an addict and that falls under, you know, hurt.
Right.
And you could come there and get some help working through these different things and understand stuff better, you know. And while you're there, you might just get some answers to some stuff that you may or may not be aware of that could make some positive change in your life as well, you know.
Right.
So,
Well, and you know, when it comes right down to it, the opportunity to do this radio program,
to reach out
to our tens of listeners. Mm-hmm. But I think you and I both, when Nancy Casey decided to bail and go on and do other things, mm-hmm. and they put a call out, you and I showed up.
We sure did.
And we did not know each other before.
Was that one of those moments where you're like, because for me it was like, I know I need to do this and I'm scared to death, but I know I need to do this because this could be used for really positive things and I don't want this show to go away. Like, you know what I mean? But still scared to death. Why am I going? I have to, God's like,
well,
you know, tap me on the shoulder, like, come on. And I got to just say real quick that there was enough things that had happened before I started this show, like a year ago. So it had been 4 years in, that I had built up a little bit of confidence. I was like, okay, Denise, you can do some stuff. Come on. Like you can, you could probably do this. So come on.
and for me, you know, it was actually probably 180 degrees opposed, because mm-hmm. I looked at it and I went, oh shoot, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be fun to do. And I showed up and, here was Denise, who was very enthusiastic about doing it. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and talked afterwards for a few minutes. And you explained that you were totally out of your depth. You had no idea what it was about, mm-hmm. you know, I started out at it a little bit slower just because I had some other obligations I had to take care of. And you got in and got the training and the blessing from the station to, you know, be a DJ. And I came in and did your first show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were my guest.
Yeah, was your guest. And coincidentally, you know, finally found time to hit the schedule where I could get cleared to, be a host. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about it you know, we learned through the time. I've helped you learn some of the computer skills you needed to fill in. You know, there have been times where I've been gone where you've hosted on your own, mm-hmm. with guests and everything else. And mm-hmm. You know, it's been fun for me doing the program, but it's also been enriching for me watching you grow.
Right, exactly. That's kind of the thing. God was probably like, yeah, you know, maybe you'll help some other people, but Denise, you need to get in there so that you can learn some stuff. This is a part of the process that I've got you going on, where it's just one thing after another.
That's right.
Just keep going.
One foot in front of the other, and it's working.
Yep, absolutely. So if you're new in recovery, just give it some time, and things will start coming along.
And they will.
They will.
Well, we're up against the clock here, and it's time to run. So, you know, thank you so much for suiting up and showing up today.
Absolutely.
And we'll be signing off here with the usual. If you You know, if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol, you do.